July will mark 3 years since stronger protections went into place for employees of defense contractors, including new provisions that protect subcontractors from reprisal. But despite hundreds of reprisal complaints since then, DOD's Inspector General has had a very hard time substantiating their cases. Federal News Radio's Jared Serbu writes about this in this week's edition of Inside the DoD Reporter's Notebook. And so is there protection, Jared, or not?
Well, it's I guess protection in theory is one way to put it. And it's really hard to figure out exactly the reasons behind this. But as you noted, several hundred reports since those new protections went into place for, as we could talk about later, mostly subcontractor whistleblowers. Those went into place midway through 2013. Since that time, there have been 370 complaints into the DoD IG's DoD Inspector General's office. They have substantiated just one case in that entire time out of all of those complaints. So difficult to figure out exactly why that is, but they have expressed some of the reasons why they've had trouble with contractor whistleblowers in the past.
Before we get to that one, though, do we know whether they're blowing the whistle on their prime contractors or on DOD?
So in most cases, it would be against the contractor.
Okay.
And the one case in which they were able to substantiate a case, it did involve actions by the company. This one case that was substantiated, it was a senior accountant who reported to the IG that basically his company was submitting false invoices to the government, and that they had that same company had reprised against other people who had basically
pretty basic
made
problem,
the same reports. Yeah,
yeah,
exactly. So, you know, we don't know the content of what all of these unsubstantiated complaints have been. Those are, of course, confidential unless they actually prove something. But it's a pretty staggering number and pretty amazing that only one has been substantiated, because one of the reasons that these added protections were added by Congress midway in the 2013 National Defense Authorization Act was because the previous laws basically excluded the entire universe of subcontractors. So there were whistleblower protections in place, but only if you happen to be working for a prime. The other thing that was lacking in previous laws was you were not covered if you took the issues, whatever issues you had, through your internal company chain of command. You had to complain to Congress or to an agency inspector general. These rules, again, in 2013 changed that so that you're covered against reprisal even when you're reporting within your own company.
And so the IG didn't really comment when you asked about it. What did the report say? Do they have any assessment of what's going on, of the efficacy of this law?
It's completely silent on that matter. We do know what the IG has asked for in the past, which is basically just what I described. They had complained to Congress that, look, we're getting all these complaints from subcontractors in particular, but we can't do that anything about them. We can't really even investigate them. And we should say that one potential explanation here is that even with the added protections, the protections that you have as a contractor are much narrower than what you would have as a government employee when it comes to reprisal. I mean, you could be reprised against as a military member or a government civilian for reporting basically any kind of violation of law or policy. The things that you're covered for as a subcontractor basically has to do with your account, some kind of financial waste, fraud, or abuse or malfeasance dealing with that contract, with your company's relationship with the government, or the other category is some grave threat to public safety. So if you're not reporting something that falls within those legal guidelines, then the IG can't help you against reprisal, basically.
And the question we have no answer for, therefore, is what happens to all those 370-some people that were not substantiated, and they walk back into their companies, and guess what? It wasn't substantiated. Now we got you.
I think that's probably true in a lot of the cases. And another thing that we do know is that a lot of these cases probably came about because of the laws Congress passed. We know that just based looking on the numbers. I mean, back in 2012, before the protections went into place, there were 64 reprisal complaints from contractors in that entire year. By the next year, when they went into place, that went up to 107, 136 the next year, 111 the next year. And in just the first 6 months of 2016, there have been 69 already. So you can certainly take from that these added protections are having the effect of at least encouraging people to come forward, probably with original claims of wrongdoing, but also reprisal claims once they're punished for coming forward.
Did the IG have any recommendations otherwise for DOD or for these companies? It was just sounds like a dry recitation of statistics.
It is. That's exactly what it is in the table. And and as is my wont, I like to go through and read semi-annual reports like this when they come out from an inspector general's office. And I just happened to notice in the past couple, zero contractor whistleblowers had their reprisal complaints validated. And then I looked back over the past 3 years, and that was true in every single one of the reports except for the one that I mentioned. So yeah, it's just as you say, it's just dry statistics without any commentary, at least up until this point.
They can throw it at the wall, but it's not sticking. We're speaking with Federal News Radio's Jared Serbu. And also in your notebook, you talk about the Army looking to try to end the use it or lose it budgeting phenomenon that everyone is so familiar with. Are they trying to use it or lose it, or none of the above?
None of the above. They want to get rid of use it or lose it. So this is a directive that came out actually in a memo that was written back in April by Patrick Murphy, who was then the acting Army Secretary. And he's basically telling all of the Army's commands all around the world that they are no longer allowed to essentially punish an individual, you know, whether it's a contracting activity or management office, for not spending all of their money in a given year by therefore reducing their budget in the next year, which is the phenomenon called use it or lose it that is you know, very common throughout all of government, and creates, as we all know, a very perverse incentive to spend all of your money at the last minute at the end of the fiscal year, whether you actually need the products and services that you're buying or not.
Contractors like it.
Contractors love it. Contractors love that last week of September, especially that last week, as some of the data I point to in the notebook this week finds that 8.7% of all procurement spending just happens to happen in that last 7 days of every fiscal year. And I think we might have some idea as to why. Anyway, this directive basically says that you are no longer allowed to do that as an Army commander. You can't automatically, as they say, decrement next year's budget just because this year's was not entirely spent. If you're going to do that, you have to go through and actually do an investigation as to why not all the money is spent. If there is a legitimate reason why that organization's budget needs to be cut, you need to be able to document and show that, to show some other reason other than they just happened not to spend all their money this year, and therefore we're automatically doing this.
And finally, I wanted to ask you about the cybersecurity work being done in the Navy, a year of procedural compliance. What does that mean?
Sexy phrase, I know, but yeah.
It sounds like not really complying, but complying with the procedures.
It's basically creating new procedures is what they're talking about. This comes from Vice Admiral Jan Tai, who's right now the commander of the Navy's Fleet Cyber Command. What she's concerned about is that the Navy probably doesn't have the procedures that it needs in place to make sure that when it's integrating a new piece of technology, let's say onto a ship, that there are no avenues for new cyber vulnerabilities to be introduced into those seams between, let's say, an old system and a new system, or a new system and the platform that it's going to be riding on. No established procedures, or insufficient established procedures to make sure that the contractors and the individual sailors who are working on that item, for example, have all the processes in place to make sure that they're not introducing vulnerabilities of their own. So what they want to do is do sort of a top-to-bottom scrub of all the procedures that they have in place right now to make sure that there are no opportunities for cyber vulnerabilities to make their way in those kinds of situations, because the concern is that kind of stuff is usually happening just before a ship deploys, and once it's out to sea, there's not much opportunity, A, to either catch a cyber problem like that or fix it once you're underway.
Federal News Radio's Jared Serbu, appreciate that update.
You bet.
And you can read his notebook now at federalnewsradio.com. Share this interview with colleagues. Go to federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive and click share with friends.